Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Hello and welcome back. We are back. Feels like ages, but good to be back to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast, where we are focusing on the volunteer state with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest, David Black, Dr. David Black. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcasts at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. While you're there, please subscribe. Welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. Today, we are talking with Dr. David Black. Dr. Black founded Second Vote, Inc. here in Hendersonville, Tennessee in 2012 in order to research and highlight corporate social justice activism. He is responsible for the overall strategy of the Second Vote family of companies. Dr. Black is a fellow of the American Board of Forensic Toxicology and American Institute of Chemists. He joined Vanderbilt University in 1986 as assistant professor in pathology and pharmacology and currently holds appointments in pharmacology, pathology, microbiology, and immunology. In 1990, he founded Aegis Sciences Corporation, where he served as chairman and CEO until October of 2016. During his tenure, Dr. Black grew Aegis from 5 to over 1,000 employees as it became one of the largest drug testing companies in the nation. He has served as program administrator for substance abuse programs for NASCAR, IndyCar, WWE, and as a consultant to MLBPA, NFL, and to major corporations for developments of their substance abuse prevention programs. He has testified in local, state, national, and international courts as an expert witness regarding drug abuse. Dr. Black has authored numerous peer-reviewed published scientific papers. He is also president of Ebon Falcon Commercial Real Estate and founder and president of Second Vote, Inc., a 501c3 research organization monitoring corporate social activism. Dr. Black served in the U.S. Marine Corps 1966 to 70 and in combat in Vietnam 1968 to 69 and is a disabled veteran. Dr. Black earned his undergraduate degree from Loyola College in Baltimore and doctorate degree in forensic toxicology from the University of Maryland at Baltimore 1982. Personal interests include Rotary, church, and Guatemalan medical dental vision mission trips. He lives in Gallatin, Tennessee with his wife, former U.S. Congresswoman Diane Black, Tennessee 6th District, and they have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. Dr. Black, thank you so much for coming on with us. How are you and Congresswoman Black doing?
Well, thank you very much for having me on, and thank you. We're doing very well. And Happy New Year to you. I hope your New Year is off to a good start.
It is, and talking to folks like you just makes me so happy. You and your wife met in high school and you proposed on a ski lift. That's romantic. Is that a true story?
Well, it's partially true. She was in high school. I was in the Marines.
Okay.
I was on a blind date with another girl when I met Diane, and we actually didn't start dating until 9 years later, but, we did meet in high school. She was, one of the first people I met at a high school dance, even though I was with the other young lady, the date I had. And I never forgot Diane from the first time I met her.
That's amazing. Well, I hope I did your resume justice because it's a long and distinguished one. Are your 3 kids involved in Second Vote at all?
My oldest daughter is on the board of directors, but the other 2 are not involved directly. They certainly know of the data, the research work, and everything we're doing, but they're not employed. And Jill's really not employed. We're a nonprofit. So the board of directors seat is a donated effort, donated time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your service and thank her for that. And happy anniversary. It's Second Vote's 20th year, right? 21, 20?
Well, no, actually 10 years. We're in our 11th year. We celebrated our 10th year last year. We started in, we began in March with the idea in 2012. And then we didn't really go public after having spent some time looking to ask the question about what happens to our money after we spend it with these companies, these retail outlets. What happens to our money? What do they do with it? And what really prompted all of this is that I was at Publix shopping for groceries. Diane and I were after church on a Sunday. And I was asked to give a donation to the March of Dimes, which I did. And when I got outside, Diane said, "Why did you do that?" Which is a question a husband often gets from his wife. And I said, "Well, why shouldn't I have?" And she told me that Marcia Dimes worked with Planned Parenthood. And I was just actually taken aback to learn this, since Marcia Dimes is supposed to deal with children with deficiencies, problems, handicaps from birth. And you have to have a child to have that deficiency. Well, anyway, that's what prompted my asking myself, well, what else do I not know? And so on a Saturday morning in March of 2012, pulled together seven young, techie, Christian young men and posed the question to them. And we started digging in and started doing research. And we now have quite a database. We've done a tremendous amount of research and a lot of activism to try to push back on what corporations are doing to harm our Judeo-Christian culture and our values.
And 10 years in, going strong, how is it doing? Is it thriving?
Well, we would always like to do better. Even my company, when we went from 4 people to 1,000, I always wanted to do better. But I would say we've had success stories. We've had big success stories. And what we do is we conduct research. We turn that research into a simple quantitative score between 1.00 and 5.00. And it's complicated mathematics at this point in time. It all began with some pretty simple math, but now it's what's called geometric mean analysis. It involves weighting and algorithms. And it's really become much more sophisticated. But what we do is we study 6 Judeo-Christian issues, and then we have a score for each issue, and then we have a composite score from all the issues. And the scoring, if the score is below 3.00, those scores would represent a corporation involved in what we would say is anti-Judeo-Christian culture issues, or fundamentally anti-traditional American values.
Yep.
And if you're 3.00, you're in a neutral. And then if you're a score higher than 3.00, then you would be engaged in supporting traditional American Judeo-Christian values.
Okay. And you set up shop in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Any community support or the opposite, pushback or protests?
Well, we've been taken down by the bad guys on several occasions. We've certainly received our share of hate mail. We began, it's a little bit of a complicated story, but we began solely focused on trying to influence the retail dollar and the donated dollar, because what we're doing is we are identifying nonprofits that are what we would call bad actors. And we also identify good acting nonprofits, but we try to influence the donated dollar and the retail dollar. But we've also started a for-profit company that is using the database for investment purposes to push back on what's called woke capitalism or ESG investing. In fact, this week, there's the meeting in Davos by all of the one world government proponents, the Great Reset, as they refer to it, mm-hmm. where by 2050, they say that by 2050, you and I will not own anything, and we will be happy with that. There's really a very sincere effort funded by many corporations, many of them American corporations, that are working on this one world government concept. We in the investment world have faced real backlash, because the investment world, these are the JP Morgans of the world, the BlackRocks of the world, they are fully vested in this one world government concept, and they are blocking funding to Christians and conservatives. We've had Bank of America, Regions, SunTrust, or now Truist, but we've had a lot of banks that have shut down accounts or refused to perform transactions for conservatives or Christians. And so as we've introduced our financial products, and we do have products trading on the Chicago Board of Exchange, we've had pushback. We've had vendors that worked with us. They found out we're Christian conservatives, and they refused then to work with us. They've dropped us as a client. It's been an interesting journey. We do have pushback. We do get support in Hendersonville, especially. John Isbell, who's now the county executive in Sumner County. John ran golf tournaments for us to raise funds for Second Vote. And we do have donors from around the country. We have a national footprint. It's not just here in Tennessee or Sumner County. We have a national footprint and many, many followers, many donors. We have paid memberships. A basic membership is $50 a year. That gets members get access to our research data and the detailed data for each score. And then they can also look at how the composite score is constructed.
And then we have... Go ahead.
And then we have Investor Council members who are $1,000 members who, beyond the retail players and the nonprofits that are available for research to the $50 members, when we went to the influencing the invested dollar, we had to begin to research manufacturers. So we have a database on retail outlets that are direct to the consumer. We have nonprofits, and then we also have manufacturers, but the data for the manufacturers has no value to the retail dollar. So we don't, that's not exposed to those who are basic members, but we do make that available to our investor council members. So they get a bigger database to look at, and they get some other benefits.
Yeah, that's the epitome of follow the money. You have a relationship with Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization that engages a lot of young people across the nation and on campuses, college campuses. Charlie was on the government list for shadow banning and canceling, First Amendment rights obviously violated. Do you find young people interested in your research on companies and how they spend their money or our money, you know, their profits?
Well, actually, there's a segment of our young folks who are very interested. They are very much attuned to what's happening with the possibility of them losing their rights and freedoms. Diane and I were interviewed on Charlie Kirk every month for 6 months and reached that audience and had a great response and reaction and questions. So we have interacted that, but we've interacted with other young groups, primarily Christian related groups, certainly through churches and other venues. But the the young folks especially should be very much concerned about what is happening rapidly to take away their rights and freedoms. And it is a where we're going, or where the world, or where the Davos group and these woke corporations and these radical leftist activists, what they're doing and where they're trying to take this country is really a great risk to all of us in terms of property rights, freedom from crime and chaos, and just the right to practice our faith. One of our issues is the First Amendment. We call it basic freedoms, but there's a big attack on our right to free speech, to assembly, issues related to marriage. So these are issues that anybody of any age should be very concerned about. Yeah. We do have a lot of followers that are older that use our data to help guide their retail dollar and their donated dollar and their invested dollar. So, but it's all ages, but
ask that question. Actually, because I see obviously on college campuses, you know, the big company that will support the sports team, the Nike, the Adidas, then the kids go to the bookstore and they buy the sweatshirt of the team, of course, and it has a Nike logo on there, and they don't really know where their money is going. Just like, say, a senior might say, well, AARP versus the other, I forget, is it, you know it, it's on your site, the two different senior discount programs that can
AARP
and, yeah, the other one
and AMAC,
yeah, exactly,
actor, and then AARP is definitely a bad actor,
right, if people know the difference. And so did you get that treatment from universities when you were working with Charlie, or were they more willing to allow you on?
Well, I didn't go directly to the schools. We were on their podcast for Charlie Kirk. But I will say there was a college here in Tennessee where they were looking to set up a Turning Point chapter where I was invited to speak. But the real issue there was at first they had resistance to set up the chapter at all. And so that delayed my opportunity to go on campus to speak. And then COVID came about and I've yet to make it back onto the campus. But the Turning Point chapter, after we pushed back some. That chapter was established. But even within the state of Tennessee, which we think, you know, we're not as vulnerable to all of this, it's everywhere. And it's just, it's everywhere. But to the issue too, you know, Christians do not know where their money is going, conservatives. I had no idea. Unless you look at the data, you're not going to have any real idea about what these corporations are doing, because they don't put in their commercials on TV. They're not going to tell you really what they're doing.
No.
In fact, BlackRock has a commercial right now on Fox. And on that, they claim that they focus on the shareholder. That's absolutely untrue. It's false advertising, frankly. They have signed the stakeholder manifesto for ESG investing, which is environment, social, governance. And they are absolutely stealing money from shareholders to put it into radical leftist organizations that are attacking our values that the shareholders would never donate to. But they are reducing the return of hardworking Americans to their retirement plans or investment plans. And it's outrageous, but it's ongoing.
Yeah, and it really detracts from performance as well. Quite often, the companies that focus on that, social justice versus profits, usually don't have such great stock performance, and that can definitely affect your retirement planning if you're investing with them. Let me read this off of your website. Second Vote researches and scores companies for their alignment to American and Judeo-Christian values. We help customers, investors, and philanthropists align their efforts with their values. Our efforts are focused on better informing corporations, consumers, and philanthropists to effectively support their interests rather than boycotting or canceling organizations with whom they disagree. I'm against canceling. I'd hate to be canceled, but I am for good companies. So your website can help people find good companies they align with.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, fundamentally, one of our more common taglines is shop local, give local, love local. You're more likely to be doing business with someone who shares your values if they're within your community. So we try to bend people or encourage people to move away from the big box retail outlets who are almost all, not all, but almost all, pushing money into the hands of people you would never donate to. But yes, we do provide alternatives to the bad actors. And we do not recommend boycotting. What we really want is engagement. And through our website, you can send a message directly to a company. Let's say you enjoy shopping at Walmart. I don't, but Walmart is especially bad. And Walmart, if you come to our website, you can send a message directly to Walmart and you can see what issues they're bad on. And then let's say Second Amendment is your issue. You can free text a message directly to Walmart and tell them, I like shopping your store, but I don't like the fact that you're funding organizations that are trying to remove my right to self-defense and to bear arms.
And have you had any campaigns that you can tell us about that were successful? Like, did you change a company's mind? I remember the Target for a while there had gotten rid of their Santas for
Salvation Army.
Salvation Army, right. But they came back from uproar, I think, from people who believe that. Do you have any direct correlations to what you've produced and changing a company's attitude?
Well, we have quite a few stories of success because, you know, the left is very organized and they raise their voice all the time. On the right, we don't do that. So we've created a mechanism whereby folks, everyday people, you know, people concerned about our country, you can raise your voice up to these companies. So actually, one of our biggest success stories was Target, not on the Salvation Army issue, although we did encourage followers to contact them. But the bigger issue with Target was the transgender bathroom issue. And when we took on Target, when they announced that policy, it wasn't a permanent boycott, but it was shop anywhere but Target for Christmas that year. And we reduced their revenues by $1 billion and their stock price by 18%.
That's a win.
That Christmas. The problem is Target scored at virtually a 1.00 on all six issues. They are hardcore committed ideologists. And the problem we have with the conservative side of everything is people have a short attention span.
Yes.
So yes, people did not shop there for that Christmas. We had impact and we had effect, but then people eventually went back to shopping to Target. And that's a part of the challenge, is really getting people to really change their shopping behavior. Shop local first, then look for the best big box you can find. But also, if you're going to shop at Target and you just can't resist shopping there, but you're a conservative or a Christian, then send them a message. Send them a message through our website. Tell them, I love shopping your store. I don't like what you're doing. Please discontinue your policy on transgender bathrooms or whatever. If you look at our website, you know, we always know what we know on the big issues, but many companies, there's more to the story, like Disney. People have been boycotting Disney because of grooming children. But if you go to Disney, they're bad on everything. They're bad on all the issues. They're bad on Second Amendment. They're bad on fossil fuels. They're bad on First Amendment. They're bad on environmental extremism. There are multiple reasons not to go to Disney. Go somewhere else. Go to Dollywood. Go to other entertainment parks that are not so engaged in radical leftism. But so anyway, if you go to Target, you'd find out what else they're bad on beyond the transgender bathroom issue.
And it really has become a white hot issue because, you know, as Mussolini said, you know, corporatism is fascism, getting the state's apparatus to control all of the corporate profits and for their own ends. We are seeing right now that is fascism. So I'm curious, because it's not just where you spend your dollars, but sometimes where your tax money can go. And a lot of the colleges are state funded. Are the legislatures paying attention to you? Are you having more success in, say, Nashville than you would, say, Olympia, Washington? And do you look into that? Is that part of your program, schools? And do you see any curtailing of some of these wild anti-American values with their spending?
Yeah, on the second vote nonprofit side, of course, we can't be politically active. We do have legislators who are very much aware at the national level, at the state level, not just within Tennessee, that are very much aware of our data. They can access it and they can see what's going on. But we can't take second vote onto on a bus trip to the state capitol to lobby for particular activities. Now, I will tell you, we do have states that are using our data for their investment purposes through our investment firm. Mm. We have states that have invested in our products, and they are also using our database to delist specific companies from their pension funds or from other funds. And we do create specific financial products for states. So we're in conversation with a lot of states. All the states happen to be states that are led by Republican or conservative governors and legislatures.
So when see North Carolina, I believe Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, maybe some other ones, hopefully Tennessee, tell BlackRock they're no longer welcome here because of the reasons you say, that's a direct response to maybe some lobbying you did or some work you did behind the scenes to inform the legislatures that this is a problem. And they said, yeah, we should get rid of it.
Oh, yeah. Our executive chairman of Second Vote Advisors, the investment firm, is Andy Puster, who you'll see on Fox frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But Andy has actually helped write model legislation. He has met with the decision makers in 7 or 8 red states to educate them on these issues, because we've got the database. We've been doing the research for a decade and we're ahead of the curve. It's only in the last probably 12 to 18 months that very many people at all knew about ESG investing or this great reset or woke capitalism, but it's been there. We've been speaking of this for a long period of time, and we have conducted all this research, and we have the database that can help guide decision makers on what they can do with really big amounts of dollars, billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And
Antifa and BLM came right out of the colleges, and many are paid public school teachers. And that's straight out of the arrest records. Do you follow the money from state-funded schools usually linked to homeowners' property taxes in support of these groups, or is that not your field of expertise?
That's not our field that
Okay.
we look at. Now, I will say Art Laffer works with, I apologize, I'm probably going to have a brain cramp here, but there's an annual report called Rich State, Poor State, where they look at how states handle their money and how they waste it. I don't think it necessarily goes that deep into the issues, but it does address educational funding and outcomes from that funding. But it's a really great report from a more purely economic perspective. But no, we haven't taken our education research to that level, but that's a very good point. That's probably a pretty good avenue to pursue.
Yeah,
We
that
are
there's
definitely through our
it's all
taxes.
public money too, so you can follow it actually. And you know, yesterday was MLK Day off, and it seems, you know, his famous line, "Judge by content of character, not by color of skin," it seems to be out of style on the left. Let's just say. I don't know if you knew this, but if you type into a search engine antifa.com, it redirects to whitehouse.org. Weird, huh? You know, very telling. Anyway, and I only bring that up because, you know, GM just revealed in their earnings update that they spent millions on LGBT textbooks in schools that many parents would rather not have in the school library or curriculum because of the graphic, pornographic, or dark subject matter, age inappropriate in K through three. They have a whole webpage dedicated to Pride Month commitment, Subaru too. Have you reported on the LGBT agenda from corporations like GM and Disney? You mentioned Disney.
Oh, goodness. I don't know if you recall, just last summer, State Farm became embroiled by providing books, LGBTQ books down in Florida through one of their agents. And we helped rally the crowd. And what's interesting, you know, State Farm is in every small town in America. And State Farm, their leadership had a tremendous pushback. And really, there's been great success there. But absolutely, General Motors, we do score on the HRC issue, the Human Rights Campaign, which is the LGBTQ umbrella organization, and GLAAD, another LGBTQ organization. We do track them. That's a part of our scoring on the First Amendment issue because it impacts marriage, it impacts our right to free speech, right to assembly. These folks, you know, those that are engaged in that initiative on the left are oftentimes very aggressive, very violent. When Diane was in politics, she received a lot of death threats from that population because of her support for traditional marriage, adoption by heterosexual couples. No, we've been through the mill. Death threats came really from the LGBTQ community and from the abortion community. And we had a lot of that during her time in politics, both within the state of Tennessee and at the national level.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me, you know, Google's motto in their beginning was "Don't be evil." Pretty simple. And most people would agree. But that's not how they behave now that they are a monopoly, basically. It seems as most companies reach the top of the pyramid, they start acting against their customers' interest. That's how IBM got knocked off by Microsoft, and now Microsoft maybe by Google, although Microsoft doing just fine, but also monopolistic. How do we change the C-suite level decision making to keep them focused on the old, give the customer what they want and not what their Gen Z employees demand they do? That's where it seems like it's coming from.
Well, see, that really is the issue. The people on the left speak up. They're aggressive. Conservatives and Christians are respectful. They tend to try to stay away from confrontation in politics, whereas the left embraces it. So we're at a disadvantage in this discussion. In fact, Christians and conservatives do not protest well. I mean, the January 6th insurrection, as they call it, is a great example of how poorly people on the right or Christians protest. We don't do that. And one of the foundational principles of Second Vote was exactly that. We are respectful, we are tolerant, and we don't shout and scream and carry signs. But what we can do is we are worker bees. We work hard. We save. We are raising children. We're spending a lot of retail dollars. We can make a big difference with our money, and we can. We've created an avenue for conservatives and Christians to speak up through our website. And you can make that difference. You know, when I only talked about Target as a success story, I'll give you another one, which is Land's End. Land's End had a new president come in to run Land's End, and they struck an agreement with Gloria Steinem for their Easter catalog to share their profits with her foundation. Well, Gloria Steinem is radically abortion-directed and radical in a number of different ways. But when we discovered this, we shone a light on it, and the pushback was such that Land's End tore up the Easter catalog, they tore up the agreement with Gloria Steinem, and they ended up firing the president of the company that had just come in and changed their culture.
That's right.
And so to go back to your original point, the left speaks up, we are silent. And what silence is affirmation. If the executives of these companies only hear from the left, they think that's what everybody wants.
That's right.
And they're pandering to what the customer is saying, this is what I want.
And the left usually banks on us not turning out or conservatives not turning out and being quiet or being shouted down. Because that's, like you said, we're not trained Marxist activists throwing bomb throwers.
No, I mean, we do want, as I saw on the website, sheep to become lions. But in the context, yes, we need to be bold and we need to speak up. We need not be afraid of our faith or our values. We need to stand for them. We need to speak up for them. But we need to have that as a conversation, not a screaming match. If we start screaming like the other side, all we've done is totally destroy our society.
Yes.
We can't let this very small minority completely derail this great American experiment. We are the greatest nation in the world. I have testified in 5 continents. Diane and I have been to over 30 countries. There is nothing like the United States of America. And we have people in this country looking to destroy this nation. You know, Abraham Lincoln, before he became president, when he was speaking to the men of Lyceum up in Illinois in 1837, Abraham Lincoln said, "This nation is too strong to be defeated from an enemy outside. We can only fail from an enemy within." And that's, you know, a short time after we were founded. And his words are more true today than ever. We are being destroyed from within.
Mm-hmm.
But if we remain silent, we're casting our vote in favor of that destruction. Second vote allows people to take action with their dollar and to speak up through our website. And you can make a difference, and we have made a difference. And we do have our first company that dropped funding the HRC. And I'm not going to mention their name because I don't want them to become a point of attack. But they have silently stopped, and they're a good company. They're a national chain. And they've stopped their funding of the HRC, the LGBTQ group. And it's a big step forward.
So let me ask you this. So Disney stock is down 50% last year. So if that means profits are down and likely to not get better looking forward, why are they so willing to lose money and viewers to keep pushing what we don't want? You know, Apple, Qantas Airlines, Land O'Lakes Butter, who removed their Indian girl mascot, Macy's, Fidelity, even Dow Chemical happens to have gay CEOs, okay, which is fine, but not if they promote an agenda like Planned Parenthood in schools and textbooks made by the same publisher that makes hate books for Palestinians and Saudi Arabian kids, and certainly not as a shareholder if they love to lose money. Maybe they'll wise up, you know, when it causes material damage, but not yet. Well, why do you think they are willing to sacrifice profits for ideology?
Well, right at the moment, first of all, let's back up to August 19th, 2019. The CEOs of 161 major corporations of America signed a 2-page letter in the Wall Street Journal committing themselves to what they call stakeholder capitalism, which is basically ESG in this one world government. And they went on record and said, we're committed to this. And at the moment, they're still committed to this, even though we have data, and we may be the only people that really have great data because we actually have products that focus on profit and on shareholders, not stakeholders. But the story is beginning to reveal itself. You may have noticed right before Christmas, Vanguard separated itself and backed away from the ESG agenda. Vanguard and BlackRock have been the two biggest investment groups that have been pushing corporations and forcing them into this ESG activity and adopting and accepting all of these radical leftist ideas. But Vanguard has just taken a step back. Now, it's going to take time to see all the consequences of that, but it's a great step. And I'd like to think that we, this little group that started here in Sumner County, Tennessee, we've had a part to play in that because we've been all over this country talking about how evil ESG investing is, how evil this whole agenda is. It's anti-American, it's anti-freedom, it's anti-Christian.
And Larry Fink, who runs BlackRock, is a very huge proponent of the communist Chinese way of doing things. So he is the steward of the largest asset management ship that is an American company investing American assets, but he's very complimentary of the Chinese and retailers like Starbucks and Nordstrom's and even the university health system like Vanderbilt Medical and Stanford Health are spending billions, as are the Pritzker family from Illinois, to fund transgender surgeries on minors. What other big backers have you found that people would be surprised to hear about?
Behind the
push for transgenderism
or the transgenderism.
Pro-China, anti-American ideologies that you are working against.
Well, again, if you find any of the companies on our website where they are scoring below a 3.00, they are funding George Soros organizations, they're funding anti-American organizations. And unfortunately, that would make for a lot of major organizations like Lowe's and Walmart and Target and many of these companies that you think to go and shop with. Amazon is horrible. Uber, Lyft, they are, so many of these companies just follow the herd. I say one of the biggest problems is all these cocktail parties they all go to and they engage in group speak and it's an echo chamber and they all convince each other that, I think they have Jesus complex or something. They are going to change the world. They grew up being told you're going to change the world. And so now they're on what they think is a noble mission to change the world. And the harm they're creating is almost incalculable. They're harming third world poor people. They're harming our children with this transgender, which is not medicine. Medicine is do no harm. And the harm they're creating here is tremendous. And I'm really embarrassed to still, you know, I love Vanderbilt. There are tremendously good, a lot of great people on the Vanderbilt campus. And I would say if you took a vote there, you'd probably get transgenderism thrown off the campus. But people are bullied into silence. And it's a shame. I spoke at Vanderbilt a few years ago about how I went from being a professor to a successful entrepreneur. And when I mentioned at the end of my talk, there are five books you have to read. The fifth book is the Bible. And I said, you have to understand the parables that Jesus shared about how do you treat people and also how do you handle money? Well, I had doctors. I mean, these are MDs, PhDs, MD, PhDs came out of the audience. And they said, Dr. Black, thank you for having the courage to mention the name of Jesus and to speak of the Bible. They're cowed into silence. And that's 10, 15 miles from here, 20 miles, maybe, I guess.
Well, it's a good point you make there because the Vanderbilt name is the same empire. I mean, we all know about Soros and the Koch brothers, although one brother, David, died recently. And I think the surviving one is even more left-leaning. But like the kids of Fox's Rupert Murdoch and their wives, Steve Jobs' widow owns the Atlantic magazine, is very liberal, as is Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, Mackenzie, giving billions to leftist causes, the Gates Foundation, Bill Gates, Tides, Rockefeller Foundation. These are mega donors and affect a lot of policy. Have you ever uncovered anyone particularly nefarious in the foundation land?
Oh, the Buffett Foundation gives $1 million a month to Planned Parenthood.
That will keep
all
them going,
these people
yeah.
that revere Warren Buffett. And of course, his father, I believe, was a Republican congressman, a conservative individual. But no, the Buffett Foundation has unfortunately, and of course, Buffett has transferred a lot of his wealth into the Bill Gates Foundation. And Bill Gates is, in all candor, he's a scary individual. This is a guy who supports a lot of leftist causes. He's certainly very big in the Davos process, the Great Reset. But, Bill Gates, there's an experiment he's running. I think he's received approval to do this, where they're putting reflective particles in the upper atmosphere to reflect light to try to diminish global warming. Now, these people are doing things they have no concept of what the consequences are.
No, because if you block out the light, which is impossible, you can't grow crops, which means we all starve to death, but yet it's cooler, you know, for whatever, baking your biscuits. So we got about 5 minutes left. This always happens to me. I've got pages of questions that I'm never going to be able to get to. So I'd love to have you back one day, but let me ask you this. So Second Vote, you definitely are very analytics heavy. You've done a lot of research. It's all there on the website, but you found that 17% of companies lean right, not very many, 57% lean left. Wow. Super majority. And 25% are neutral on key social issues. So 40% right or neutral to shop at and feel good about. Maybe one day it'll flip the other way when the social justice warrior companies go woke, go broke. But what would you glean from that the most, that we have a impossible situation to deal with, or that it's trending in the right direction for what you would like to see?
Yeah. First of all, we consider neutral good. In fact, we try to push companies to neutral. We push harder on the left to become neutral than we do on the right, but absolutely neutral is good. So it's a good body to work with. As you know, we are certainly not in a gross minority, if you can even say that. But we can be much more successful. In all candor, we need more followers, we need more members, we need more investor council members. We do ask for volunteers who will help us with, say, scouting out for companies we ought to research. We have a big long pending list. We've researched and scored over 2,400 organizations. And it's a very expensive proposition to do that scoring, although we are developing augmented intelligence and web crawlers to do a lot of that with non-human activity. But number one, we can't give up. We cannot give up. Those who preceded us did not give up. We have a Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, World War II. Our ancestors sacrificed a great deal for us. We cannot give up. We have an obligation here to not give up. If we push back, I believe reason, logic, the values we represent, the truth that comes out of scripture, all of that will prevail. But we need more people to join the movement and the effort.
Well, that segues me to my last question. So Lyft and Amazon and Airbnb, they instituted a corporate employee abortion or abortion trafficking policy following the overturn of Roe versus Wade last year. You know, we just want to buy a book or sleep in a nice rental or rent a damn car and not kill babies at the same time. How does Second Vote use volunteers to give alternatives to customers sick of this nonsense? You know, so if you want to find a gym or alternative to the Gap or Old Navy, same company, Dillard's or Kohl's, how would they do it on your website?
Well, if you know the local good company, let us know. We'd like to score them. We have something called the Small Business Alliance, where we're trying to build out a database to guide people to good local businesses. But there are regional players that we've yet to score. You may know of a great gas station chain that we haven't covered, or a great workout facility of a name. So there might be a name regionally that maybe your family know of, where they live, or friends know of. But we have regional players we've yet to score, big local businesses that we could score and let people know about. But also, we ask for people to really critically look at our website, shoot us a message if you see something that ought to be corrected or done better. I failed to mention that when we do score a major corporation, but of course, we would do this for anybody we score, but before we post their information publicly, we send them a letter telling them, this is what we found, this is how we've scored you. And that does two things. It lets them know that somebody's watching. But we also want to always be accurate. We give them a chance to correct the record before we go public. But we would do that for anybody. But America, yeah, America has 31, 32 million small businesses and regional businesses. And we always just think of these big mega businesses, but we got a lot of businesses that we need to score. And we need to be directing people to small businesses that are local, but also intermediate and maybe even a locally big business. And here's the other complication. McDonald's is terrible, but you know, a local McDonald's franchisee may be a really good guy. The family may be strong Christian. So we've got a, that's not a problem we've yet solved. We want to get down to actually scoring the franchisees because, and then we want the franchisee to push back on the headquarters, wherever that may be. In this instance, it would be Chicago. But you know, a lot of
maybe when we get the In-N-Out burger here, where things will change too. But Dr. Black, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you coming on. We are at the end here. Just tell our listeners where they can go to find, obviously, Second Vote, maybe donate to your causes or any of the other causes you're into, please.
Sure. It's Second Vote with the numerical two. It's secondvote.com for the nonprofit influencing the retail and the nonprofit dollar. And then we have Second Vote Advisors for the investment funds. And from either site, you can navigate and find information.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on with us and good luck on the mission.
Thank you very much for the interview. I greatly appreciate your time and I appreciate your audience. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks. I don't. Welcome to the Steve and Trusted Producer and Author Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard. Producer Steve, what did you think of our guest, Dr. Black and Second Vote?
Oh, gosh, I told you off air that this is one of my favorite shows. In the top 10, this is one of my favorites, and it's because I was, I'm in process of revamping all my investments. And I wanted a guide. How do I know where to go? Who to trust? That was the answer of prayer, Steve. I'm literally happy as a clam. Thank you so much.
I may know a guy too, but that's another story for another time.
I think I know who that person is.
All right. Let us start the next section here with a little reminder of a really, really charismatic, funny guy. Let's play clip number one.
A lot of things when you get my age remind you of stories. But this was a Democratic fundraising rally at a hotel. And outside, when all of them were coming out, there was a kid there with a bunch of puppies. And he was trying to sell them, and he was saying, come buy a Democrat puppy. Buy a Democrat puppy. 2 weeks later, the Republicans held a fundraiser in the same hall. And there was the same kid with the same puppies. When they were coming out, he was saying, buy a Republican puppy. Well, one of the press, a newspaper man who'd seen him 2 weeks before, said, hey, kid, wait a minute. 2 weeks ago, you were trying to sell these puppies as Democrats. What are you doing here now trying to sell them as Republicans? The kid says, now they got their eyes open.
Open their eyes. I love that clip. And that's what Second Vote is trying to do, is open your eyes so that you know that your first vote is something you like, you want to wear it, it's comfortable, it's soft, but that second vote, are they spending your money the way you would want them to? So we do that a lot with politics as well. So Reagan was a charismatic, very much so compared to what we have now with angry politicians, not happy warriors like him, but eyes are being opened. Shows like this are everywhere. And some of the formerly called crazy conspiracy theorist politicians are being proven right. Let's hear from one. Let's play clip number two and then talk about it.
I think it's more influential and powerful in Washington, D.C., the lobbyists or the intelligence agencies? Well, I mean, the answer to the question is yes, they're one and the same, because oftentimes they are fused with precisely the same personnel, where people will roll out of DOJ and end up at, you know, the law firm that services the lobby corps and the very same clients. I mean, there's no better example of the fusion of that than when I learned through a whistleblower that the Perkins Coie law firm, which is the legal wing of the Democratic Party, has within it a secure information facility that is run by the FBI. So they literally have a place in their law firm where they can try to convert political dirt into intelligence investigations, counterintelligence investigations, criminal investigations, and the like.
Yeah, and let's not forget all the Epstein tapes.
And it's up and running today. Yeah, it's up and running today.
Lobbyists and intelligence agencies are one in the same. So, Steve, if we're looking for discernment, and we're talking to guys like Dr. Black, and that's Matt Gaetz from Florida, folks. He's right. We all know it. Is the light being shined in the shadows, or we all still have blinders on?
I think it's going to be depending on the person you talk to, but I know you're going to get into some things a little later, but I'm going to segue really quick. I had a conversation with a guy I haven't seen for a year and a half at the gym, and we always say hello, and he says, hey, how's it been? And I told him why I hadn't been there, and I said, oh, I didn't like the mask mandate, and he laughed, and then he said, you know, my business, we had to get the shot, and I got it, and oh my God, it just destroyed my back, my legs, and I'm on recovery. I've had to change my diet. My son took it, and he and his mouth drooped, and he had to go to the hospital. It cost me $72,000. Fortunately, he said the insurance, and he said my other son took it, and now he's got to use heart monitor. Okay, there you go. That's reality. He's woke up.
Well, the only happy part of that story is that you go to the gym, so good for you.
Yeah.
and lobbying can be good when they represent citizens and what they want. The greedy ones, not so much, but the tide appears to be turning, if you ask me. If you watch the news closely like I do for you, so you don't have to, some of the old questioning lackeys of the last decade seem to be catching up to the games the administration is playing by actually doing their jobs and asking tough questions. That's all I do try to do. Listen to this, clip number three.
For a second straight day now, the White House struggling to answer any questions related to classified documents discovered at locations associated with President Biden, citing Karine Jean-Pierre there, the press secretary, simply reading a statement where she says the president was surprised by the discovery, takes this matter very seriously. The documents were inadvertently misplaced and he doesn't know what's in them. But Lana, we've been listening here. She has not answered a single question outside of a pre-written statement by the president's lawyers.
Exactly. And continuing then to say the same thing again and again, even in response to very simple questions about the timeline, about the specific location, clarifying questions, and continuing to use the word transparent and saying that they did things in a transparent manner. You heard our own CBS's Ed O'Keefe really trying to pin her down on what she means by transparency when she's saying that she has been transparent. If that means legal transparency, governmental transparency as required by law, or public transparency. We are going to continue to set those questions to the government. But for now, a quick break. We have a lot.
CBS, right? There you go. The White House press secretary, man. I've seen some liars and mean ones, but this one is by far the worst. Totally over her head, maybe on purpose. Anyway, so one of the worst, most kiss butt of them all, is TV's Allison Camerota. But even she seems to be waking up, or being allowed to be. Check this out. Clip number four.
And we are just getting word of this now. Regarding the COVID vaccine, the CDC is now saying that there has been enough cases of people who have had the vaccine, received the vaccine, and then suffered a stroke. The agency will now be investigating any potential links between the shots and the strokes in some of those patients.
So whoever wrote that, I was probably fired, but who was she talking to there?
I don't know who she's talking to. Who is she talking to? I don't watch
that. Wasn't that Washington State's Jaya PayPal, in who's one of the worst leader of the yes. Progressive Caucus, no less? Oh, yep. Right. She's your congressperson, Steve. You pay to put her there. Please stop sending her back to Congress every 2 years. And my choice for the award for the dumbest news business person, he could say the same about me if he wants, the ever hapless Don Lemon or
We don't
Limon.
Have him, unfortunately.
We don't have that clip?
No, we do not.
Oh, well, okay. That would have been a good one. But we'll have to jump to number six, where even the powers above their pay grade of the nightly news are seeming to catch a clue. Let's play clip number six.
I hope this is the right one. Oh, hold on. It's winding down.
There's a little known federal law that says you cannot give an emergency use authorization to a vaccine if there is any medication approved for any purpose that is shown effective against the target disease. So if Tony Fauci or anybody had admitted that hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin are effective against COVID, it would have been illegal for them to give the emergency use authorizations
that
to the vaccines, and they could never have gotten them approved. And it would have been, you know, a $200 billion enterprise that would have collapsed.
That is fascinating. I mean, I have been covering this very closely now for all of the 2 years. That's the first I've heard that. I mean, in your book. So he would not have gotten emergency use authorization for the vaccine if the medical community had been saying ivermectin works. It is an effective treatment for COVID.
Well, the medical community, a lot of it was saying that. I mean, there's 17,000 doctors who've signed a petition, and there are, you know, there are so many peer-reviewed publications now that consistently say that, but he had to aggressively crusade against it to kind of drown out those reports by saying it's a horse medication, it's, you know, people are taking it and it's dangerous and it's overdosing people, and, you know,
well, why did he keep saying it after he got his authorization?
Well, one, even if you have the emergency use authorization, the law appears to say you can't have it anymore if there's a functioning medication. Mm. So, you know, that may be why.
Okay.
Again,
that was Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Talking to Megyn Kelly, who's amazing. Trust me, this was an all hands on deck, powers that be, leadership failure of the highest order. All are guilty to some extent. But I believe that the truth is coming out. The cracks in the ice are showing. And to prove we don't do idol worship here on the Mill Creek View podcast and remind us it should not be a partisan blame game, let's get this on record. Play number eight.
It is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, yeah, under Joe Biden.
Right.
Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but yeah, some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Shouldn't have said that. That's Donald Trump, former president, number 45, and Candace Owens, who was interviewing him. And not just America, although the U.S. companies made a fortune and knocked AstraZeneca out of the vaccine market early, it was global. So let's listen to one more.
Due to lockdown, most of the transmission that's actually happening in many countries now is happening in the household at family level. In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified due to lockdown.
Oh, God. Get that
never
guy
forget,
off. Get that
never
guy
forget
off.
The World Health Organization, right? All right. So now what do we do? I don't know, but people are pretty scared and hope the truth gets out now on how dangerous these are so we could find cures or at least therapeutics, especially to kids and their young hearts and their health. Now go back to listen to John Jubilee, episode 14 from October. We knew. Stay tuned for my thought of the week. Welcome to my thought of the week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Rumble or iHeart app and hit the subscribe button and follow us. And thanks for doing it. Yesterday was a national holiday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which means government shut down and banks were closed. I hope the kids out of school actually know a thing or two about the man. He said a lot. Here's five. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And lastly, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And one more, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. His niece, Alveda King, has argued that her uncle was a Republican. Like his father, Martin Luther King Sr., who was also a Baptist minister, King's son, Martin Luther King III, said in 2008 that it's disingenuous to insist he was when there is no evidence of him casting a Republican vote. It is even more outrageous to suggest that he would support the Republican Party of today. That could be true. Like JFK has no place in the Democratic Party of today and would be a moderate Republican. King's father, Martin Luther King Sr., did endorse Kennedy. And Kennedy won the election thanks in part to winning over 70% of the black vote. Much different times. Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis's only child, died suddenly of cardiac event last week at 54. Lots of anger online for those daring to blame a vaccine. Guess we'll just have to get used to seeing deaths by coincidence now. Elvis's iconic Memphis, Tennessee mansion, Graceland, is in a trust that will now go to the benefit of Lisa Marie's surviving children, her three daughters, actor Riley Coe, and twins Harper and Finley Lockwood from two different ex-husbands. Son Benjamin died by suicide in 2020 at the age of 27. Very tragic life. Lisa Marie told CNN she loved being a mother to her cubs. I hope it doesn't get messy, as these things unfortunately often do. That's it for this episode. Really hoped you like it. Thank you, Dr. Black, for following the money for us. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper. Here's Lisa Marie and her dad doing a duet. Peace in our time.
Any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.